Once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the solid gold snuff can. This is a legend of Oregon gold country, one of the few Oregon gold country legends that actually comes out of the Mackenzie Valley, where there actually isn't much gold. It's folklore. It probably is not true, but it might be. And it's the story of a Native American man who came out of the woods every few years with a snuff can full of gold dust. Is there anything to the story? There just might be. This article was first published on January 25th, 2010, under the headline, Oregon Gold Country Legend, The Solid Gold Snuff Can. Okay, here we go. The Cascade Mountains of Oregon are gold country for sure, but the Mackenzie River Valley is not exactly the hottest area for prospectors. Which is why I tend to think the legend that Don Churchill told me may have some truth to it. Like many longtime Oregonians, Don is a consummate rock hound. He's got a shed full of old lapidary equipment and slabs of stuff like volcanic hailstones and thunder eggs and moss agate, which he's collected over the years. And, of course, he's spent some time looking for gold as well. Those of you who know your gold country legends will probably recognize the story he told me. I've heard and read it about a couple of other places as well, down Jacksonville way, for instance, or out in northeast Oregon. But this may be the original. The story dates back to the 1920s and 1930s, before World War II. The way Don tells it, for many years a Native American man was a regular visitor to the Deerhorn Ranch up the Mackenzie River. He would drive up the river in his old Ford Model T and spend the night there. The next morning, he would hike into the mountains. He'd be gone until just around dusk. When he came back, he'd be carrying a snuff can. The round kind, like Copenhagen comes in, or maybe Skoal. The can would be packed with gold dust. The next morning, back down Highway 126, he would go. The can of gold would last him 2 to 3 years, and after that he'd drive his Model T back up and do it again. Naturally, this attracted some attention from folks who would have liked to use a kindergartner's euphemism, share the gold with him. Many times people tried to follow him into the mountains. Each time he slipped away and came back with his can of gold. Then, without fanfare, he simply stopped coming. No one knew if he died or depleted his cache of gold or what, but no one ever figured out where that gold was coming from. In other places there would be a very likely explanation. The Indian would have been an old miner, working in a commercial mine, who had managed to smuggle some dust out of the mine each day, perhaps in a special hollow spot in his pick, maybe in his shoes or underwear, somewhere else, and had cached it somewhere for later retrieval. The fact that it was always gold dust, an eminently smuggleable form of the stuff, supports this theory. But there were no working commercial gold mining operations up the Mackenzie. And if there were known sources of loose gold, that is gold dust, up there, I haven't been able to learn about them. Another possibility would be that another prospector had struck it rich up there somewhere, and then before he could bring his findings to market, something had happened to him. Perhaps then the Native Americans stumbled across his remains, along with his gold. Or perhaps this is just another gold country legend, augmented with a few specific facts to make it play better around a campfire late at night. Well, true or not, it's a great story, and it's sure fun to think about the possibilities. That's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. That would be the complete catalog of about 185 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and links to the Facebook page and Twitter feed in case you'd like to join the conversation. The website's also where you'll find full citations of sources for stories in Offbeat Oregon. Sources for today's episode include, well, just one, Donald Churchill of Springfield, Oregon. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. This podcast is covered under Creative Commons License CC by SA. Details at offbeatoregon.com/CC. That's it for today. In coming attractions, tomorrow being Thursday, we do something a little bit different, and what I'm going to be doing is posting a live performance that I did at the Regency Park Estates Retirement Center on the topic of Shanghaiing. Be a little bit longer than my usual column. It's a 45-minute talk. Look for that after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, and in the meantime, go fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Thanks for listening.